Right. And tonight, our 15-minute speaker is Chris.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Chris, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 22nd, 2014. I have a sponsor, and I'm willing to sponsor others. So now that's out of the way. I guess I'll just jump right into it. I'm going to try and give you a snapshot of my drinking career in a way that is, as it said, is in the book, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born and raised in Kansas, not originally from Florida. My father was a pastor, and so I grew up as a PK, or pastor's kid. I was the fourth of five kids, the second middle child, as they say. I was perfectly spaced between my brother and my little sister that by the time my older brother started going to school, my little sister was born. And so I never really had that, like, mother attention, but like a big family, you never get that. This is your mom, this is your dad, or it's, you got to share, is what I'm saying. So my first drink, I was 14 years old. I was in Massachusetts for my aunt's wedding. And it's actually kind of a funny story. My brother Lewis was a bartender at the time, and so he had made two different punches. One was an alcoholic punch, and one was a non-alcoholic punch. And of course, I pretended not to know which was which, and I had a little of both. Well, I decided I liked the alcoholic one more, so I had several glasses of that before my cousins noticed, and they stopped me, but thought it would be funny that later that evening after everybody went to bed to get Chris really, really drunk. And my first real taste I was a liquor drunk. I loved liquor, like loved it, the smell, the taste, anything. I was the guy who would go to the liquor store and come home with a different kind of alcohol every single night of the week because I didn't have a favorite. I liked it all. Anything that would get me drunk. My friends used to say, if it has an alcohol content, Chris will drink it. And thank you, Glenn. So my first and second drunk were actually back to back. The first time I got drunk was with my cousins in my aunt's basement off vodka and Coca-Cola. And then we went to the beach for the entire next day. So I experienced my first hot hangover in the hot sun and salt water. And that is not a great combination when you're hungover. And then that very next night, I decided it was a great idea to do it all over again. Now, I must say I was also a blackout drinker from day one. I blacked out my first time drinking. I blacked out my second time drinking and proceeded to black out the majority of the times after that. I can say that from the age of probably 16 to when I quit drinking, I remember a lot of nights at the beginning, and I don't remember what happened for most of them. I have a lot of blank space, but I'll try to relay some of what I do remember. Let me see. I just drew a blank. See what I mean? It does get better, by the way. It does get better. It's not as bad as it was when I first came in here. I couldn't remember what I did yesterday. My memory was so bad. And even today, even at my job, I walk around with a little red book that I have to take notes in whenever somebody tells me something that needs to get done, because I will forget it 10 minutes after walking away from you. Even if I'm thinking in my head, okay, I need to do this, need to do this, need to do this, I will walk away and completely forget. My short-term memory is pretty much shot. So if I forget your name, if you introduced yourself to me, I apologize. Anyway, hi, Osa. What's my name? Anyway, I grew up in Kansas, and there isn't much to do in Kansas other than party, because you're out in the middle of nowhere, and there isn't much to do. So I had a friend who had lived on 60 acres of land that were owned by his grandparents, and we used to go out there and party. And one specific time I remember going out, and I was drinking Bulleit bourbon at the time, which if I was drinking Bulleit bourbon, you left me alone. and don't touch my drink. But I would go out, we went out there and we decided we were going to camp out and sleep in hammocks over the night. And it got down to like 40 degrees that night. So I'm already blackout drunk and I go to get in a hammock and I completely face plant out of it. I go to get back in the hammock and I do make it in. And then I guess sometime during the night I got up and decided I was cold and went to the fire. And I woke up in the morning at about 4 a.m. with my heels in the coals and smoke coming up around my feet. Because I was cold and I decided I was going to sit as close to the fire as humanly possible. Yeah, that's not always fun, by the way. But getting on to it, to give you an idea, I'll skip ahead. We'll near the end of my drinking career, I was a daily drinker by the time I was 18, and I had several times where, more often than not, behind the wheel of a vehicle, I was drunk more often than I was sober, because I worked as a delivery driver for 4 years, and I would drink. I would get off work and I'd go home, and I would drink heavily until I passed out at about 4 o'clock in the morning and I had to be at work at 8. And I would drive to work in and out of blackouts. And we used to deliver pizzas to high schools for high school lunches. And one time that I remember specifically was I remember loading up these 60-70 pizzas, like $400 or $500 worth of pizzas to take to this school. And I remember loading them and then I remember opening the door of the high school. I don't know how I got there. And I wish I could say that's the only time that happened. When your hangover hits you at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know you were probably drunk for most of the day, even if you weren't actively drinking at the time. Because believe it or not, the only cure for getting alcohol out of your system is time. Somebody tells you can drink water, you can drink coffee, it doesn't work. The only thing that actually will get you sober or lower your BAC is time. Your liver can only process so much at a time. So even though I was not drinking on the job, I was drunk the entire time I was at work. And I'm lucky I didn't get fired. I actually had to make an amends to that boss, and that was very interesting because he's also a fairly heavy drinker, and he was fairly lenient. I was kind of surprised by the way he reacted to my amends. But anyway... By the end of my drinking career, I had been offered a job as a full-time military. At 17, I signed my papers and joined the Army because I thought that'd get me straight, you know? Everything would be great. And by the time I was in AIT, where there was a drinking ban, I was drunk every weekend because I could get it. Because there were people there that were old enough to buy it, and they would supply me. And I would drink whatever anybody gave me. And so I could have got kicked out then. Didn't. Still in the Army, actually, now. But I got offered a full-time position. At the time I got offered this position, I was living in my friend's entryway. Somebody who had literally an entryway. Like, you come in the front door, and there's a love seat, my bed, my TV, and the living room. And then the kitchen behind me. That's where I lived for several months. And I was passed out drunk every single night without fail. I remember coming to one of my friend's wife that lived there. Because I lived with my buddy and his wife. Her mother was an alcoholic, and she was definitely worried for me. And I remember coming to her and was like, I haven't had a drink in 2 days. And that was like the biggest thing in the world to me, is that I had gone 2 days without having a drink. And my celebration for that was to get as royally screwed up as I possibly could. So if you're somebody who when you pick up a drink, you can't control how much you drink, like me, or you've tried to quit and you can't, like me, then you're definitely an alcoholic. And I think I knew I was an alcoholic before I came into the rooms, like well before, but I was more proud of the fact than I was ashamed of it. Because my friends would say, I think you're a drunk, and I'd say, no. And they'd say, you think you're an alcoholic? I'd say, no, alcoholics go to meetings, I'm a drunk. Hi. Here I am. I end up taking this position as this full-time military position. I had to go to school to reclass for a new position, and I was drunk by noon most of the time while I was out there. And I came back, and I had a month because I had quit my pizza delivery job to get ready to move here to Florida. And I probably drank every moment I was awake that entire 30 days I think I was sober. The longest I was sober was probably about 8-9 hours when I went to go see my grandfather and my grandma for a dinner one night a couple days before I left. And I was drunk the night before we left, and my dad had to drive the first leg because I was so hungover on the drive down here. I got here, and I decided I was going to cut back on my drinking. I was going to just drink beer, but I drank 8 or 9% beers. So you drink 6 of those, you might as well have drank a 12-pack or more. So I would drink 5, because then I wasn't drinking a whole 6-pack. And that was how I rationalized that in my head. Well, my last drunk out, I was in Morehead City, North Carolina on a mission, and we decided the last night out there we were going to go for bar hopping out there, because there isn't anything else to do in Morehead City, North Carolina. It's a really, really, really small town. It's like 20,000 people there, but it's a shoreside fishing town, so you get a lot of people that come up there for fishing tournaments and stuff, and there had just been a big tournament, so there was the bars were wide open and everything. I blacked out before we actually hit the bars. We were still at dinner when I blacked out. Because I had drank at the house, and I had drank before I met up with my friends. I pre-gamed. It was bad enough that my sergeant couldn't look me in the eye, thank you, for about 3-4 days. He couldn't even say a word to me. Because I had nearly got him arrested, another sergeant arrested. I had assaulted an NCO. He had beat me up. He was 6'4", 270 pounds, and I thought it was a good idea to take him on. But needless to say, I thank that sergeant on a regular basis because he saved my life. Because when we came back, instead of reprimanding me or trying to get me kicked out of the Army, he gave me a choice. He said, we can sweep this under the rug and pretend it never happened, or you can get help if you want help. And for some reason, I decided I wanted help, and I ended up getting put into a 28-day treatment center where I was in a locked facility, which most of the stuff I learned in there didn't stick, but because when I came into this program, like I said, I drank my memory. I couldn't remember half of the shit I had done or the things I had done to people, because I was a manipulator and a user. I used you for whatever I could get out of you, for in whatever way I wanted to do it. And I couldn't remember that. I drank to block off myself from myself. There was two sides of a coin you were going to get when Chris was going to drink. Either I'm going to love you, you're my best friend, or I'm going to freaking kill you. I'm going to go all out and try and kill you. I nearly beat the crap out of one of my best friends that I've known for almost 15 years when I was drinking, and I don't remember it. But I can say this program works, because here I am before you today, and I haven't had a drink in almost a year and a half. I'm happy, genuinely happy. I don't pretend to smile and tell everybody everything's okay. And I owe that to the people in this program and to God, my higher power, because he did for me what I could not do for myself. I couldn't stop drinking. I couldn't make that change. I couldn't make this work. No matter how much I tried, alcohol was always first for me. It was my first and only love. It ruined relationships with friends, with family, with women, with anything. Any relationship I had was ruined by this because it came before anybody else. And he took that away. My higher power took that away. When I decided to commit to this program, that very same day, I kid you not, that desire to drink was gone. And I needed that, because I couldn't have done this without that. I couldn't have done this without my higher power guiding me every step of the way. I still have to do the work. Don't think sobriety is a cakewalk. Sobriety isn't necessarily easy. Sobriety's given me a lot of gifts. It's given me sobriety. It's given me happiness. It's given me joy. It's given me gratitude. It's given me honesty, truth, things that I didn't have before. I would lie to your face, no matter who you were, just to get what I wanted. And today I'm more likely to tell you the truth, even if it's going to hurt your feelings or get me in trouble, because it's the right thing to do. And before, I couldn't even dream of doing that. So I guess if you get anything out of this, nobody's a hopeless case. Everybody can get better. And if you really want this, this program will give you everything you put into it if you want it. If you put yourself completely into this and you immerse yourself in this program, you listen to your sponsor and you listen to your higher power, this program works. I'm getting married in less than a month, and I could never have imagined that a year and a half ago, because my longest, I couldn't be in a relationship. I would destroyed every relationship I was in, but I'm with a woman now who I love with all my heart and that I can't wait to marry and spend the rest of my life with. And that alone is mind-boggling to me. That idea just, it wasn't possible a year and a half ago. If that is enough of a, if that tells you anything, nobody's a hopeless case. Anybody can get better if you truly, truly want it and you truly work for it. You can't just sit on your hands and think that this is all going to fall in your lap. You really do have to do something. Thank you.